All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Well, that weekend sucked. Let's get into it with the lead. That's what we were talking about. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Anyways, welcome into Oilers Nation every day live from the Sports Closet studio. Check them out online, sportscloset.ca. What's going on? Side conversations.
Something you want to share? Asking me if I can read the chat. I don't have my contacts in, so I can't read.
Hey, feel free to talk shit about Jay in the chat today. He can't.
Fire away. I look fly, so come at me.
I'm Tyler. Move the TV.
Tyler, move the TV.
I moved it so it's closer to me, so I can read it.
Now Jay can't read it.
I forgot it's Oilers Nation Every Day with Tyler Yaremchuk. I forgot about that.
Today it's Oilers Nation Every Day with Tyler Yaremchuk and three other guys who go by Jay or Jason.
And me, Liam.
Liam, who today will be Jay.
All right.
Welcome into the show. Sherwood Forward, giant game day edition of the program as the Oilers will take on the San Jose Sharks. We got a couple of former Oilers, former NHLers popping in. Jason Demers will be around in about 15 minutes for his weekly hit. Then we're going to end the show with a chat with Jason Chimera, who's going to be joining us live on the program as well. So gearing up for the playoffs, pulling out all the stops, getting some big name guests. Yeah.
Big lead up to playoff week.
Speaking of gearing up for playoffs, Jay, the new Oil Up collection, is that hat going to make its way onto the website?
Well, it got brought in as a proof today, and I'm like, oh no, this thing has to launch like in 5 seconds.
Can you hold it?
It's tight.
Can you get it a little closer to the camera? Can we get a real good look? Look at that. And it's navy and orange too. It's
the dark navy and orange.
That is
it. Time to get oily, folks.
Good looking hat.
It may have been a shitty weekend, but now it's time to oil up.
And you can do so by heading to nationgear.ca, checking out all the latest, our Oil Up collection, the new Live, Laugh, La Bamba collection as well, which we dropped a second version of over the weekend on the website too. Like, we got a lot bumping over at nationgear.ca, so head over there and check it out. Lots to get to today on the show. Like I said, a couple of guests. It's a Sherwood Forward giant game day. We want to hear from you in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat as well. But first, let's get into our weekend recap and talk about whatever the hell those six and a bit periods of hockey were for the Edmonton Oilers. No Connor McDavid in either game, and it kind of showed. The Oilers,
our play was hot.
Yeah, the Oilers pick up one out of a possible 4 points against the Coyotes. Luckily. And the Canucks. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. It kills any chance of them realistically winning the division. They would have to win out and Vancouver would have to lose out. It's not happening. That dream is dead.
I'm at peace with it.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm not super rattled about it or anything like that.
Well, let's be honest. Very emotional day to be a Coyote on that day. GM flies in, tells the boys, you're moving to Utah.
Hmm.
That to me is like, that's going to spark, I think, in hindsight, a positive response. And like, these guys are just like playing because like, they know it's the last days of being a Yotes and they're moving in and establishing a new identity. So I expect after hearing all that, the Coyotes to be a difficult out that game.
Yeah, so I was on pregame with Borgi over the weekend setting up that game. And that's kind of what I said. Like, it felt like that was maybe going to be something that could galvanize that Coyotes team and bring them together a little bit. And
one last hurrah, like, you know, just let's do it. One do last, it for the Yotes fans.
One last howl, you could say.
Oh!
That game was going one of two ways. Either it was a distraction and those players would be like, we don't give a shit anymore. And the Oilers were going to win 8-2, or the Phoenix was winning that hockey game.
Well, they've won four in a row now.
They did lose to Calgary last
night. Oh, so they won against Calgary.
They blew it.
Colorado blew it against Vegas last night.
Man, the Avalanche are junk at the moment. They lost 7-0 to Winnipeg on the weekend, too.
Sorry to flip the script, but there's a lot going on, a lot of storylines.
Actually, one other thing I wanted to bring up about the Yotes. Did you see they didn't make any tweets yesterday during their game against Calgary? Their last tweet was the statement they put out from, what's his name?
Alex Morello.
Morello. Yeah. Crazy.
Well, that's like, I saw some tweets go out about this, and then there are people that are in the space there. There's people that work for that organization that might not have a job or might not already have a job because of a relocation. So, you know, you got to feel and understand like the impact that happens around all the supporting cast around a team like that and the impact they have. So it could be connected to that.
Yeah.
There's also like nothing really to celebrate. I'm assuming there'll be like a huge kind of thank you fans, you know, tweet montage, whatever it is for however, what is it? They've been there for 20 years, 25 years.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And we're longer, like almost 30 years, 30 I guess.
Years, maybe.
Yeah. We're going to chat with Jason Demers about that. He was a one-time Coyote. So was Chimera actually. So we can save that. But yeah, it is tough to kind of see them go through. And this is something we, again, back in the Atlanta relocation, that was still like right when social media was starting to boom, but we didn't have it like this, where everyone was so involved. This is really interesting to see how this is all going to play out, because they're also not like, they're not forfeiting the Coyotes name or anything like that. So like the accounts and stuff are going to stay alive with the,
you know, it'll turn to whatever the Utah name is. It's not going to start from zero followers.
Well, part of the deal is Mariello gets to keep all trademarks.
Really?
Yeah.
Because so he, in case he gets a team back in the next
they'll 5 years. Have to start net new. Oh, wow. Okay.
96, they went to Phoenix.
So 28 years.
Can you believe they have been the Arizona Coyotes for 10 years?
Oh, they changed from Phoenix to Arizona only
10 years ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
To Liam's point.
I know. I was
that's processing. Crazy. It doesn't feel like that was that long ago.
So the Oilers lose in OT to the Phoenix, Arizona Coyotes. Not a great game by any stretch. I thought Pickard was fine.
Pickard was left.
He made a couple of unreal saves.
He is the only reason why we won that. We were flat. Holy cow, were we bad. It was boring to watch.
It was pretty boring.
It was bad
to watch. Great snipe by who was the guy?
Josh Stone.
Oh yeah, Josh Stone. But
what a story.
Yeah. Should have been an Oiler. Should have never lived in Arizona.
So his dad should have been too.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Should have been.
So I thought we had the opportunity to get, we missed on his dad. We could have got the son, I thought was the angle you were taking.
Could have got both.
You mean he should be a naturalized Edmontonian?
Yep, should be. But here we are. Scoring against Edmonton.
So for anyone from Australia who watches this show, there's such an interesting rule in AFL, and it's called the father-son rule. That if your father played for the team and your son is up and coming in AFL quality, they get the rights to the son.
Oh. Whoa. So who in Oilers history, who would have been the biggest benefactor?
You got Keegan Lowe.
That was big.
Hell yeah.
Who would have been?
Is there even another one?
There's got to be. Well, Jake DeBrusk.
Oh, we would have got Jake DeBrusk.
But granted, Louis played for a bunch of teams. It must be like the drafted team. Must be some parameters. Who else?
They do that in the OHL, though, actually. That if you're... So there's this one kid right now who just got drafted over the weekend who's from Newfoundland. and they're part of the Quebec draft, but his dad played in the OHL. So he's now like grandfathered into the draft.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like so little things option. Like that. But imagine there was a father-son rule. Now there's less player movement in AFL than there's in NHL. But I think maybe if you draft the dad.
Right.
And he comes up and maybe plays a minimum of 3 to 5 seasons with that team. Mm-hmm. Son should be.
Oh.
Bunch of people in the chat.
Josh Manson.
Yeah, we already got Josh Manson.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. That's a good answer. Everyone enjoyed
it. Jason Chimera has a son coming through the ranks.
Really?
In hockey. Triple A level.
I'm assuming extremely fast.
I would assume so too. I think Austin. Yeah,
well, you're the scout.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing him play. Ah,
well, that's unfortunate.
Well, must have been memorable then.
Yeah. Let's not
ask him about it.
So anyways, Oilers, Yotes didn't go Edmonton's way. They picked up a point and first in the division wasn't dead at that point, because if you wanted to walk down the hypothetical of they just go beat the Canucks the next night, Vancouver would have been at 105. Edmonton would have been at 104 with a game in hand. That obviously didn't happen. The Canucks take care of the Oilers on a Saturday night at Rogers Place. And again, a night where
we played well,
they played okay.
They gave themselves a chance, but Vancouver without us, though, like our power play is an absolute mess without McDavid. It is just astonishing how bad it is. Like, yeah. Comical.
They looked lost. And Evander Kane, like, again, I will cut him some slack because he doesn't play with that top unit ever, right? Like, that happens once every 20 games. There's a moment where Kane gets a shift up there, right? Or something breaks where he can get up there. He floats around. He doesn't know where he's going.
No, he was on the point. I'm like, what are you doing up there?
At one point, he was just standing like in the corner while the Oilers were cycling, and he was like below the goal line. And I'm like, why are you there? What possible? How could the puck even get to you there?
Did hit the post twice against Arizona, though, which was on the same.
Same
opportunity. That's fair. But they just, again, 33 shots on goal. A handful of them were semi-dangerous, but like, it wasn't like they were peppering Casey DeSmith and hitting shots off the post and all of this stuff. Like, it just wasn't a very dangerous performance. It was a night where they needed at some point a big Connor McDavid shift to go spark them, or a big Connor McDavid goal where he walks two guys and throws it back door for a Hyman tap and to get them back into that hockey game. And it obviously just wasn't.
And this just proves why he should win the Hart.
You think?
Most important to your team.
Yeah. That is a word in the award.
And I get Kucherov having like 90 million more points than
Tampa else. Might not be a playoff team without Kucherov.
Fair.
Would Edmonton be well without McDavid?
Yes.
Okay.
1-1-1 without him in the lineup?
I think they would be.
Yeah.
I think by the wording of the award, Sid would be my.
Or, yeah, well, Sid should be in the conversation. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
I feel like, and I've said this before, I feel like Colorado would get into the playoffs without McKinnon.
Yep. Colorado would actually, I think Colorado would still be where they are without McKinnon, if we're being honest. Third in the division. I don't think they'd fall down that hard for Nashville to call
them. That's fair.
Maybe. I mean, the gap's only 6 points, but like, I think Edmonton is a wild card team without Connor. I think Tampa Bay is not a playoff team without Kucherov. They'd be my 1-2 still. You're right.
Yeah, I don't think Colorado would be a playoff team without McKinnon.
You don't think so?
I don't think their team's actually that good. Like, they have a lot of good players, but like, we spoke about it before, that they had to make, like, you take McKinnon out of that lineup, your first line center is Casey Middlestead.
Okay.
And then it's Ross Colton, Trennan. That's not a recipe for success.
I get what you're saying. They're not as deep as they have been in the past.
No, but then their defense are legit. Like, so
they just
what they lack up front. What's that?
They just allowed 7.
Their goalie sucks.
And they blew a lead. I actually think they will get knocked out in the first round.
Against Winnipeg. Well, obviously they don't match up well against Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. Winnipeg is scary. Because if Hellebuck is dialed, they've got a good top 9.
They do. I like that group. Mm-hmm. I really do. They're just kind of consistent throughout, I think, is a good way to say.
Let them fight it out on the central side. And
if
Vegas. They want to make it to the Western Conference Finals, and we do as well, we'll happily meet then.
Fair enough. So the Oilers dropped both games over the weekend. Not ideal. Let's continue breaking this down. We'll talk about a bunch of different things and get out to the Star Mechanical guest line. It's Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find out more information by visiting them online, starmechanical.ca. They've been helping Edmonton families for over 20 years, whether it's residential, commercial, or with their 24/7 emergency service, starmechanical.ca. Jason Demers, the former NHLer and NHL Network analyst, joins us. He's ready to go. And you're fired up. I mean, your hit's not for 6 minutes, but you're texting me being like, I'm chomping at the bit. Let's get into it. So what's got you so fired up on a Monday morning, Jason?
It's Oiler hockey, baby. Connor McDavid is back. Going to get that 100th assist. And then he could just rest the last two games and get ready for playoffs.
What'd you make of the non-McDavid efforts from the Oilers this weekend? They squander an opportunity to move into first place in the division or get back in the driver's seat when it comes to that. And as much as the first game against Vegas was encouraging, the last two were. Mm-mm.
Yeah, there's some concerns. I feel like this Edmonton team, we talked about it last time, when they're not engaged, you could just see it and it just shows. And it's almost like they get bored, which isn't a great thing, but I reserve the right to be like, they're waiting for playoffs, especially like Leon and you know, even sometimes Connor, where it's like, they like the challenge and they love those big games. So when they don't get those big games, it's almost like, and you're getting this close to playoffs. I think they don't care where they finish. I think they like where they're headed. And obviously the Arizona game, you could argue they probably did enough to win that game. It just doesn't pan out that way. And then obviously against Vancouver, it's not the effort you want without Connor, but it just shows you how important he is to that team and how they need to play a more defensive game if he's not in. So, you know, it's concerning somewhat, but you know, this time of year, the last like 5-6 games, I never really, you just can't, you know, you can't turn it on like a light switch, but it's also like, you know, they're not getting blown out and playing awful hockey. Just seems like they're kind of missing a little bit, but I think they're gonna blow San Jose out of the water tonight and then probably give a good effort against Arizona, and then after that I think that Colorado game they'll probably just prime. I don't even know if everybody will play that game because it's a back-to-back. I don't know what you do. That's an interesting situation with Knobloch.
Yeah, I know the expectation is Philip Broberg will be up for the final back-to-backs of the season. So you'd imagine a couple of D-men, maybe even two each night between Broberg and Stetcher getting in the lineup could be sitting out. Would expect Dylan Holloway to probably play in the final two games or the final three because Evander Kane wasn't on the ice today for the Oilers. But also just to wrap up the non-McDavid thing, hopefully this is the last time this year we're talking about the Oilers not having Connor McDavid in the lineup for a meaningful hockey game, I should add. The Oilers are locked into number two, but number three in the Pacific is still up for grabs. It could be LA. It could be Vegas. From an Oilers perspective, which one of those matchups is better?
What do you think? you want the cap wheel in Vegas Golden Knights that, I mean, if you looked at their last two games, scary with missing Stone and Peter Angelo wasn't playing, or do you want the Kings, which are going to play that 1-3-1, which I think if you just stay patient and structured, they're a way better team than LA. And, you know, I think they do have the goaltending edge as well. So I'd much rather the Kings. I think it's an easier series, not to say that they're not a hard out. I think the West is a gauntlet this year and there's probably, of the eight teams, five could contend for the Stanley Cup. I don't think the Kings are one of them, but I think they're definitely a team that's going to be hard to get out. But I would much rather them start than Vegas. You're going to eventually have to go through Vegas, but they play well against LA, and I think they've kind of got them figured out a little bit. And even though it's going to be a hard out, Vegas is, you don't know what you're going to get with Stone coming back. And if he comes back at 70%, or even 50%, a lot of teams are in trouble. So I think I'd leave them to, I feel like it's lining up like they're going to get Dallas. And I mean, that's a great, let those two kick the shit out of each other. And from there, work your way. I think it's a better setup for Edmonton if they get LA first round.
I would totally agree. Let Vegas and Dallas like you said, beat the shit of each other.
It also buries them on the other side of the bracket.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't see them for a while, or it takes them out. Dallas slays the dragon for us.
Yeah.
And then we have, you know, a nice path to the Western Conference Finals. And then we have to just have to figure out how to play a team like Dallas, or most likely, my guess, Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg. I like Winnipeg. Winnipeg is kind of my dark horse, too. I've watched Dallas now for 2-3 games, and they scare the shit out of me as a team to play, just because they have a lot of confidence. They got that youth. I don't know how that youth is going to play in the playoffs come, because, you know, they have some young guys that have been shooting the lights out, but they showed it last year. So I think just Winnipeg with that structure and Hellebuck, and they're peaking at the right time. I mean, they're a scary out, so I'd much rather avoid them. And then Vancouver, you know, Vancouver get Nashville. I think that's the best matchup for Vancouver. I think Vancouver probably loses in the first round if it's any other team, because I don't think they play LA well, and I don't think Vegas, I think Vegas walks all over them. So I think Edmonton, this, if it stays like this, I think this is the perfect opportunity for them, because I do think they're a better team than Vancouver, and especially with Connor in. And I think come playoff time, they can definitely make some noise. So I think right now, as it stands, this is what I would want as an Oiler fan. Now, as a player, you can't have that mentality. You kind of got to be like, whoever we get, and we're running through everybody, because in this division, you're going to have to no matter what. But, you know, as a fan, I think this is the how it should be set for the optimal success for Edmonton is this setup.
So obviously the big news in the NHL outside of Edmonton is the Arizona Coyotes are not going to be the Arizona Coyotes anymore. What do you kind of make of that whole situation after playing there for a few years?
I got to be careful, because I work with the NHL network, and you know, I'm happy what the NHL did buying the team. It's just that owner, that Morello, is I have personal stuff with him, and then obviously just what he's done with that team. And the sad thing about it is, you know, just to kind of put a bow on it is, you know, the players are going to be fine. You know, there's a little bit of annoyance where you have to move and uproot your life, and completely understand that. But the, so many people that work around the rink, so many beat writers that are there, that are friends of mine that I've worked with for years and seen, all those people either are losing their jobs or they don't know what's going to happen. So there's so many ripple effects that are going to happen because it was so mismanaged for years. And, you know, the nail in the coffin was this ownership group that came in and just kind of put a grenade into the middle of this and blew it up. And, you know, whether he gets that land and brings another team back, I mean, that's 5-6 years away at least. So, you know, there's people that have bled for that organization, that have worked tirelessly to get the word out, to build the community around, which, you know, there's a lot of youth hockey in Arizona that's really exploded growth wise over the past 5 to 10 years. That was all supported by a lot of efforts from, not, you know, obviously the ownership group's donating the money, but it's the people, the small people on the inside that are doing the work and knocking on doors and growing the game. And it's sad, to be honest with you, because, like I said, a lot of friends of mine that I know within the organization and on the outside that work hand in hand are not going to have jobs anymore. And, you know, the owner made a profit on the team. So it's like, you can get mad because he is paying the contracts and he is paying everybody. So yeah, there's that sense of it, but the way it was handled was just poorly done by them. I think the NHL did a good job, and as good as a job as you can do, was trying to keep it afloat and then saying, listen, this is the best for the league. So I do think the NHL stepped in at the right time. Now, the way it was handled with guys finding out on Twitter is kind of tough. And anytime you'd find out that you're moving, you know, a lot of guys just bought houses and they probably, you know, I always say where there's smoke, there's fire. So they might have known a little bit more a couple months ago and could have planned better, but it is what it is. You know, they're employees, but yeah, it's just sad because I've seen what it could be if there's a rink in the downtown and there is fans there. And I know there's people catch so much flack and people within the organization, like there's no fans there, everybody on the outside, but there is a fan base there. I've spent a lot of time within the youth hockey space there recently, and a lot of guys that played for the Coyotes all coach the youth hockey out there. And it's, there's a ton of kids that are fans, and there's a ton of kids that play because they support Clayton Keller, you know, Nick Schmaltz. They supported, you know, guys like Chychrun, Austin Matthews. You know, you look at Matthew Nyes coming out of that area, Mark Kastelic, you know, Austin as well. It's like there's a space there for it to continue to grow. It's not the Canadian market, which will always be better, and more of the fans are more passionate for the game there, but there is a market there. And it's like, for the NHL to thrive and for even the Canadian markets to thrive, it needs to thrive in the States as well. So hopefully this thrives in Salt Lake, and it could create a great rivalry for Edmonton. I mean, it's a little bit more north, and I think the change will be good, but it is just sad at the end of the day that this is kind of the way it went down for the city. And, you know, they had that Tempe vote that would have been a good chance that didn't work out, unfortunately. And that was just bad marketing by the ownership group. They didn't spend any money and they got basically out-marketed. So like I'm showing you, that this is probably one of the other reasons I'm hot under the collar today, because I'm reserving the right to not say anything too bad. But like I'll say, the NHL, I think, did a good job handling this situation in the sense of it was time to move the team and they stepped in. And hopefully this benefits the players, the league, and you know, I'm hoping, praying a lot of the people that are working within that organization get to keep a job and get to keep working.
Yeah. And a lot of people kind of take this as an opportunity to like dump on the NHL trying to force themselves into a market they have no business being in. But like Dallas is a warm weather market that has supported an NHL team really well. Tampa Bay has a great fan base. I know that comes with winning as well a little bit, but it also, the second part of that is just running the organization properly and doing things the right way. So it is definitely frustrating to see it not work. I know there's the option for it to potentially come back, but again, it'd be coming back with the same owner in 4 or 5 years. So that just, I don't know how I feel about that exactly. I wanted to wrap up with a quick look out at the Eastern Conference. Obviously, you said you do stuff with the NHL Network. That playoff race is getting really, really, really interesting heading into the final two games of the regular season. I want to see Pittsburgh get in because I want to see Sid get one or another crack at the Stanley Cup playoffs. Is there two of those teams? I know the Islanders are kind of in, so maybe say for that second wild card.
Well, the Islanders
out of that group.
Yeah. I mean, well, the Islanders, if you look at it, if Pitt wins tonight and Islanders lose tonight, they play each other and Pitt's 2 points back with the tiebreaker. So they're not in. They need this game tonight. So I think the Islanders do sneak out a point, but because the Devils are playing no Jack Hughes, and I think they'll kind of get walked all over. But I mean, I would love to see Pitt get in. I think we all would. What a story. I mean, I'd like to see Ovi get in, but you know, that team just, I've watched that team a lot all year trying to figure out who the hell they are. And I love Ovi and Charlie Lindgren and how they've battled and that coaching staff, what they've done with what they have. But I just don't want to see them in a playoff spot. It's going to be a sweep. It'll be quick. It's just one of those, they're winning to just extend their season by 1 week. So Detroit's one I kind of supported most of the year just because I like the style in which they play. There's a lot of great storylines, but I would like to see either Pitt or Detroit get in. I think those two teams as a whole would be very exciting to see in the first round. You know, I think Detroit, if they make it in, could surprise some people. You know, Philly would be great for the Tortorella aspect, but I think we all called that they weren't going to make it. And it's another team that's kind of like, if they do make it, they're limping in. And that's an understatement. And with the goaltending they've had and all the issues, you know, unfortunately they lost Carter Hart and, you know, Urson's been great, but he's just having to do so much. And then they bring in this Russian kid, Fedyatov, and you know, he is good and all that, but it's just, there's just not enough there. So it's like, for storyline aspects, Pitt's the best team to make it in. And then if not Pitt, Detroit for me. So that would be those would be my two. Islanders, I think just watching them their last three, four games in that game against the Rangers. I mean, like that is, they're a scary team right now. They're playing tough. They seem like they're playing pissed off, and I don't know if I'd want to get them in the first round, especially with both those goalies kind of finding their game all of a sudden.
Yeah, that race for the top spot in the Metro is even interesting right now. I know the Rangers have one game and they're in the driver's seat. If they win tonight, they get it. But I mean, you would get the Islanders potentially if you're in second, or you could get that final wildcard team, which, like you said, could end up, or sorry, you might actually end up. Oh yeah, no, it'd be the final wildcard team. It'd be Washington, because Boston, I think, is on track to face Tampa, which, man, I'd be shaking in my head. I was Boston having to play Tampa right now.
I know. Again, Boston goes, finishes first in the season, and they get just a hot Florida team that's just going to maybe steal it from them. I wouldn't want Tampa right now. They're firing on all cylinders, and especially with that pedigree they have of just winning in big spots. Yeah, that's who probably they're going to get. And I mean, it could be interesting for both Boston and Toronto. You know, Toronto getting Florida again, that's going to be interesting. But I honestly see this East. There's only two teams I see that come out of the East, and it's the Rangers or the Hurricanes. I don't think there's any team that could stick with those two teams right now.
Not even Florida, eh? Just they play.
The thing with Florida is I feel like people have caught on. You know, they don't have a rush game. All they do is rim pucks in and try to play along the yellow. And I think a team like Carolina does that same style, and I think they can take them out. And then New York plays a nice 1-3-1, and they play pretty defensive in the neutral zone. I just think that, you know, last year they surprised everybody, and there's no surprises. Everybody knows, so no one's going to get caught off guard with them. And, you know, they're as good as they stay healthy. And that game they play really does wear on you. So I don't know if they'll catch lightning in a bottle again. And I just think, like, Carolina is unbelievable if you watch them right now. And the Rangers are with Shesterkin are really solid. So it's one of those two teams. I think I have picked the last month. Since those trades, I think Carolina does it. I just think they're so deep. And if Freddie Anderson's back healthy, like he's shown, I mean, he is unbelievable. He's a top five goalie if he's healthy. And it's just their decor as well. Like, they're going to be a tough, tough out in the playoffs.
Yeah, that Metro division, the top of it at least, looking good. 5 wins in a row for the Canes as it sits right now. Jason, appreciate your time as always, man. Next week, we'll be chatting about an Edmonton Oilers playoff game. Look forward to doing that.
Let's go. Come on, Oilers.
There you go. Jason's fired up. Former NHL defenseman Jason Demers, NHL Network analyst, joining us on the Star Mechanical guest line. And he'll be around for the whole playoff run. And as you can tell, he will be fired up for the entire playoff run as well. Edmonton running out their schedule this week with 3 games, but they are seemingly locked in to that 2-hole, boys. It's just going to be a matter of who catches who, or if Vegas can catch LA.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, I know. So we have two varying opinions. We have Gaz saying Let's play them now because they're beat up. And now's the time to do it if you're going to play them. And then you have Jason saying let someone else deal with it. And I think I side on let's let someone else deal with it for now. Like, if we're going to play them, maybe play them later. But Vegas is scary. They're scary. They're defending champs. They're going to be miraculously healthy for game one.
Mm-hmm. A miracle, really.
And like, if they're dressing their full roster, they're going to be tough.
Yep.
So let them and Dallas fight it out, and whoever comes out of it comes out of it, and we move on.
Our monitor keeps turning off.
I know. I'm well aware of
it. It's very annoying. It's driving.
So if let's say Vegas beats Dallas,
mm-hmm.
does that still keep them on that side of the division, and they would play the winner of?
Yeah, there's no reseeding. It's straight bracket.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Let's keep cruising on. We got a couple of things we need to check off before we get to our next guest. One of them is the lineup report for Service Credit Union. Only a couple weeks remaining in the Service Big Share contest, and you don't want to miss this chance to win $1 million. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 saved gives you 5 entries into the Service Big Share contest. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. There is one super mega important lineup note tonight, and it's that Connor McDavid is back for the Edmonton Oilers. 97 confirmed it himself after morning skate, and
he can confirm his status.
Yeah, and a bit of an interesting wrinkle when it comes to the line combos tonight for the Oilers as well, as they're mixing things up a little bit. Connor McDavid going to skate on a line with Adam Henrique on his left side, and on the right side for the Oilers will be Warren Fogle. What do you make of that? Zach Hyman. Henrique, McDavid, Hyman, Nuge, Draisaitl, Fogle is the top side.
I like it.
Yeah, I think it's good too.
Because let's see, because if you can move Nuge with Draisaitl, that helps Draisaitl's line. Henrique's a good hockey player. It'd be interesting to see how him and McDavid mesh.
Because he likes
a worthy experiment.
But also he likes going to the net. Like, look at the goals he scored as an Oiler. They are all from within 2 feet in front of the crease, right? Yeah. Or in the crease or off his chest, whatever. So you're putting just two crasher and bangers with Connor McDavid. It's tempting.
But Henrique's got, and they're both can carry the puck. They can both make, like, Henrique can make plays. Like, he's more than just a net front guy.
One thing I would say is maybe a weird negative about this line is, Hyman and Henrique kind of similar styles, right? Mm-hmm. At least with like when Draisaitl was with Henrique, he had the pace of Fogle there as well. I think
in just the one element, the net front side.
Henrique slower.
Is not known as a net front guy. He goes to the net.
Yeah.
Hyman is true. A net front guy. Henrique's got skill.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good experiment to try and, I mean, if you're going to do it against anyone.
San Jose's the team to do it. Yeah. But then the counter side of that is, if it works against San Jose, how sure are you that it's actually going to work?
Well, it depends how well it works. Well, if you absolutely dominate them, I think it's going to work against anyone, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's your one big lineup note. Cody Ceci expected to be in the lineup once again tonight. Troy Stetcher was the extra body at Oilers skate. I know there were some rumblings about Philip Broberg potentially coming up for this game, but it sounds like it's going to be Broberg joining them on the road trip. Another interesting thing to keep an eye on this week, like, again, against Arizona and Colorado, I would not be the least bit surprised if it was both Stetcher and Broberg in as a pairing, and the Oilers gave like Nurse and CeCe a game off, and then gave Kulak and Desharnais a game off.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Like right now it's just about retooling and just getting good juju right now between now and game one. We've already locked in our position.
Yeah.
And part of me likes us having to fight to play the full roster and get hot, you know, at the right time. And I'm not saying we're limping in, but have that, at least that high level of intensity getting into it. So that's an interesting thing to kind of keep an eye on, because, you know, it could be concerning, but, you know, I don't think it is. We got 97. It's fine. He'll get the team. Everyone will be fired up.
Obviously Noah Vander Kane,
Dylan Holloway is going to stay in on that third line. Yeah. So again, I expect Holloway to play all three games. They'll just find spots to get him in, and they'll be resting guys. He also did have 4 shots on goal against the Vancouver Canucks.
Holloway's been buzzing.
Do you play him night one of the playoffs? Do you find a way to get him in?
Man, it's just that speed. Like he was playing with fire. Like, he's forechecking. He's on the body. Like, I don't know. He's like, to me, he's making a case. I know he's a rookie, yeah, but like, he's making a case. If he's going to come with that intensity and that speed, like,
I could see it be, he only played 10 minutes as well. His minutes have literally decreased every game he's been here. I could see it being, he won't play game one, but if they lose game one, he plays mm-hmm. game two. Like they just make
that. Yeah, like it's a kind of a swap in and out kind of thing.
Yeah, but just seeing the minutes, I just don't think they trust him. Like you played a tight game against Vancouver and he played 10 minutes. It was minus one. But he had four shots. He was creating stuff.
And it's 10 even strength minutes. Like he's not getting power play. He's not getting PK time, right?
And even against Arizona, again, like a tight game, 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Like Vegas, the only player. How many minutes?
Like that's not bad.
But
and, he's and, playing on the third line.
Yeah, but he's being effective. And again, like that.
He's being effective, but they're not
he's not a special team
more.
Guy, though.
I guess. Yeah, that obviously adds into it.
Yeah.
But they only had one. What was the power plays against Arizona? They had one power play and I think they killed three penalties. So it's only 8 minutes.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't know.
I just don't see how they're going
to
use
it. That's 6 minutes of PK that if he was on that unit would be an additional 3 to 4 minutes.
I just
and
don't
now
think
you're talking about a 12 to 14 minute Holloway, which is what you've been advocating for all along.
I suppose so.
So that's a normalized 14 minutes.
I just don't think they'll play him.
I don't either. Down. I don't think they'll send him down. I think
they're Bakersfield in the playoffs still.
Yeah, but you care more about if there's one injury, you want him playing,
yeah,
don't
I
you?
I guess so. Yeah.
Unless they're confident enough with Derek Ryan being 13th forward, which you know they could be.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to fix our monitor while we're live.
Should I plug it into my laptop?
Sure. There you go, buddy.
Whose fan's gone?
Mine.
Oh, that's Liam. He uses a jet engine as a computer. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know if we can trust your computer, but we'll give it a go
explode
here.
Explode the TV.
But now it's
your monitor's not working.
Why? Just switch. Wow.
Now the remote's not working.
Oh, boy.
We got to get this sorted out before we get another big name guest on. All right. What HDMI are we plugged into? Two? I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
Well, there you go.
Oh, well. Well,
how's it go from working to not working? Is it the TV?
I think it's the HDMI cable. I think it's a crappy HDMI. Anyways, things not working in the Oilers Nation Everyday Studio. Maybe it is. Oh, hey,
we're
there
back
you go.
For now.
Easy. We're back now. For now, which for is now. Good. Once we get Jason Chimera along, he'll be able to slide right in and we'll be able to see him on the screen. Let's keep cruising along and get to our Betway Game Day betting challenge. Let's get that done before we get to our next guest. With Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200. If your first bet loses, simply create a new account by scanning the QR code that is on your screen right now. And redeem your bonus. Place a bet with no minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you will get a refund up to $200. You can then use that bonus money to bet on your favorite sports. There's that QR code. This offer is available outside of Ontario. Gentlemen, Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. There are only three games left in this bad boy. Liam is clear and away in first place. He should hold on. I say that hoping I jinx him. What are we picking for tonight?
Drysdale goal and assist for me.
Plus 200.
I was going to go 2 points, but it was only even money. And I couldn't bet on McDavid yet, so.
Tyler, yeah. I just want to say I'm proud of you.
Why?
You're finally doing something.
This was all a part of the long-term strategy.
Yeah?
Rope-a-dope, and then turn on the Jets in the final three games.
I mean, I like the effort, and it's very realistic, because now we got Connor McDavid back. Our power play will be good.
Mm-hmm.
High potential for a Bush ball.
Yeah.
Logic checks out.
So I'm chasing it. Plus 650. This would put me into the positives for the first time all season. Giddy up, Jay. You're chasing
like
one too.
Corey Perry's getting in the mix more and more and just becoming more relevant. Not saying that he was irrelevant. So I feel like in a game against San Jose, he's probably going to get decent minutes, decent opportunities, and he's just going to muck one in there. So that's 4.25. Juicy enough. Mm-hmm. Not quite as juicy as Tyler, which is very rare. Normally, I'm the juicier of the two.
Mm-hmm.
People often say that.
The Oilers are going to win 5-1 with the Bush bomb, and I'm going to miss because of one goal on the over-under.
Oh, yeah.
Know something.
6-0.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be painful. Speaking of the goal thing, we all explained our picks. We're good. Shout out to Betway, 19+. Please play responsibly.
I'm just looking to get to double digits in my unit.
Oh, yeah. Flexing. Or you can go 0-3, fall all the way back down to 5 units.
Well, I thought about even playing it safe and just going puck line.
You should have, you know what you should have done to troll us?
I'm trying to get to break even.
To troll us, you should have done money line. They're minus 600.
Minus 600, yeah.
Just being like, I'm good. I don't need this. I just need to, yeah, just lay up. I'm just trying not to lose a unit. There you go. The challenge for Betway 19 plus. Please play responsibly. Let's get to our game notes for DuraGuard Fencing Limited. If you're looking for a trusted professional fence company in Alberta that can do it all, count on DuraGuard Fence LTD. For 37 years, they've been offering manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solutions. They have highly trained and experienced fence installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment in Alberta, and you can request a quote by heading to duraguardfence.ca. Don't let your fence situation get out of hand, everybody. Stay dialed in. Your fence needs to be taken care of. DuraGuard can do it for you. Game notes for tonight's hockey game. The San Jose Sharks have clinched the worst record in the NHL. They are locked into 32. Shout out to the Sharks.
Well done.
They have nothing to play for, but one would argue they've never had anything to play for.
Celebrini. Yeah. That's it.
Since January 1st, they are 10-33 straight up in the win-loss column. Not good. They're being outscored by an average margin of 3.77 to 2.37. Not good. They have one 20 goal scorer, and it's Fabian Zetterlund.
What a good name.
Don't need me to tell you. Not good. Bortolo, Thomas Bortolo, one of their interesting young prospects. He's a guy who I have in the positive column to watch tonight. He's got 6 goals in his first 25 career NHL games. Former first round pick. I like Thomas Bortolo.
I like Willis. How many goals does Zetterlund have?
22.
Oh, just 5 less than Timo Meier, who was in a trade.
Thomas Hurdle. They've also
and he's not him. Even the big catch of the trade.
No, that would have been.
You're going to say his name.
Shakir Mukhamudulin.
Yes.
Yeah. Shakir Mukhamudulin.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Look at us.
I wouldn't have been able to do that if
Shakira Mukhamudulin.
Shakira Mukhamudulin. Never mind.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, you nailed it once. Should have went out on top. Yeah. Game notes over on OilersNation.com from our pal Jason Greger. You can go check him out today. Greger always sinking his teeth into the research you need to get you ready for the hockey game. And sometimes you can see clips of us pop up on the screen. That's always fun. Tonight's also the return of Clem Costin to Edmonton, as he will be in the lineup for the Sharks tonight as they face the Oilers.
Did we played against him in Edmonton already?
He was hurt.
Didn't he get hurt in the game?
Oh, yeah, you're right. He did get hurt in the game. That's what I was thinking.
Vinny cross-checked him.
Ah, and then he
blocked
Vinny.
The shot.
And then the two of them went out for drinks yesterday.
Oh, that's
nice. I saw it on Clem Costin's
Instagram. Oh, yeah, I saw that too.
That's nice.
Yeah, it looked very
nice. You know what I was pissed off about the Vancouver game?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a stat mid-game showing that we were out hitting Vancouver. But I can assure you, they were out hitting Edmonton.
Like damage-wise, there was.
Yeah. And when that JT Miller thing on Desharnais happened, what the F? We did nothing. Yeah, Bush came in with like a little shove there.
I like that.
I know, but that was a very dangerous play by JT Miller, and no real repercussion. And the reality is we might be, there's a chance for facing these guys in the playoffs at some point.
Could have sent a message in a game.
Sent a message. Oh, that pissed me off.
I get that. That's a little annoying. Just wrapping up the game notes. Stuart Skinner expected to get the start tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. Here's an interesting question. If there's nothing to play for, is this Stuart Skinner's last? Like, and again, we're assuming there will be nothing to play for in the final doubleheader.
I kind of
is this
wish,
his final start, or do you feel the pressure to give him one against Arizona?
I kind of wish we went Pickard, Skinner, Pickard.
I get that a little bit too.
Just a little bit, like a week off, or yeah, essentially be a week off.
Yep.
Not saying that's a long time, but you know, just to go through the motions a little bit closer to game one, I think. But maybe Skinner, this is what Skinner wants, and then I'm okay with it.
And that's another part of it. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Yeah. But if Stuart Skinner plays tonight and they were to go Pickard, or maybe even Pickard Rodrigue to end the season, there's a chance Stuart Skinner then has to go a full week before his next start. Not ideal.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
And we still don't know dates yet, do we?
We don't know dates. Exactly. Some people are saying 21st. Some people are saying 22nd. There's a big difference between those two.
I want
Sunday. Sunday night.
No, Monday.
Why?
For personal reasons.
You don't want to work an extra day.
Because so if we go.
You don't want to work on Sunday.
Wednesday is my birthday.
Ah.
So we would fly on my birthday.
You get to go on a trip, vacation.
Spend your birthday in LA watching playoff hockey.
No. Like that's fun, and
you're so hard done by.
But if I got to stay an extra day and hang out with my family on my birthday, that would be beneficial.
Where you're,
you can have your birthday party a day earlier and have it around an Oilers game.
That's the plan.
That's amazing.
That is the plan.
That's better than not having an Oilers game around your birthday.
Well, I've worked the last two birthdays anyway, so it doesn't even matter to me.
So hard.
You're not counting them anymore. Once you get past 21.
What a company making you work on your birthday.
All right. We are getting off track. We got to get back on track and head back out to the Star Mechanical guest line. It is Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You already know that, starmechanical.ca. We are joined by our second former NHLer named Jason of the show. Start the show with Jason Demers. Jason Chimera is our closer today. Welcome to the show. How's it going, Jason?
Pretty good. I'm the cooler Jason, probably. Maybe that's what the,
100%. 100%. I'm starting this off. I got a fun fact. You are one of 12 Oilers to be a point per game or better in your Oilers playoff career. 2 points in two games. That's pretty legit. What do you remember of your two playoff games as an Edmonton Oiler?
Wow, that's going back a while. Yeah, I think I got in. I was a healthy scratch for the first couple. I think I got in the last couple. So, yeah, that's pretty good point per game in the playoffs. Like, I could use that in, when I tell people, I'm talking to people. So
I left out the fact Griffin Reinhardt is also on that list with 1 point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll back it up. Let's back it up.
This Oilers team coming down the stretch of their regular season, they're kind of locked into second place right now. And this was a question in our Monday mailbag over to Oilers Nation. I want to float it your way. Is this Oilers team better than they were last year in your eyes?
Yeah, I think so. They got a lot of better pieces. You know that they're the big guy in the defense there. He's playing better this year, and they're seeing those guys back there. The goaltending is, they've really stepped up this year. Pickard's played really well for them too. So Skinner's really stepped up his game, and yeah, there's really no holes in their game. I think with Henrik being added him, I play with him a bit in Anaheim. He's a classy guy. He's a really nice guy, and he does everything really good. And as far as matchups, when he's far matchup for playoffs, I'd be really scared to match up against Edmonton Oilers for sure, because they really got everything. If they really commit to their defense, like their team defense, they have a really good chance of going all the way, which is exciting.
When you're on a good team like Edmonton, and like for you, when you're in Washington and everything, you're coming down the final stretch and into the playoffs, like people say, it is just kind of a bit boring, maybe a wrong word, but is there a part of you that maybe shuts down a little bit before you get to the playoffs just to get ready for it again, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. A guy like me, if I shut down, I'd be a healthy scratch. So I probably had no time to get shut down. So a guy like Ovi and Mackey, maybe they rest him up a bit. But for me, I had to go full bore, else I wasn't playing. So it does make sense, especially if you got a position locked up. I think guys do want to be healthy for playoffs. I think they kind of, maybe they won't finish a hit as much as they would. And because when you get into playoffs, it really takes a toll on you, and it's really, the game ramps up, and it's two times physical, all that stuff. The penalties don't get called as much. So it really, I think guys really do a better job of kind of not mailing it in, I wouldn't say, but just like really trying to take care of their bodies a little better when they're coming on to play if they have a spot locked up, and if they're pretty locked in at that point. Yeah, I wouldn't say that's the thing that we wouldn't do. That's for sure.
This is an Oilers core group now that's been to the playoffs a number of years in a row. They went to a Western Conference final. They've lost in the second round. Now, you went on a handful of long runs with those Capitals teams, and you ended up playing 71 playoff games in your career. Do you ever get less nervous or anything like that for the playoffs? Do you ever get used to playoff hockey a little bit, or every year does it just kind of hit you like a wave again?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, like usually I was out east, so the flowers are up, the trees are in full bloom. It's in, and you're heading the rink with the windows down. You're playing hockey. It's pretty cool. The city's buzzing everywhere. You know, it's kind of every game's heightened. And the best thing about the hockey, no matter what, during a year, everyone's got their personal agendas, goals, assists, and play for contracts and stuff. But when you hit the playoffs, kind of all that stuff goes out the window. And that's why everything was for the win. And I think everyone, like, you see Alexander Semin, for example, the guy doesn't block a shot his whole life, but he's throwing his body in front of the floor. You only see him blocking shots when he plays for Team Russia, but he's blocking shots in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's pretty it's exciting time of year. You really thrive under those conditions, I guess. I think it's just the most exciting time of year. And I think especially here when you're head of the game and people are already out drinking and partying, and right, it's hard not to get hyped up. It's hard not to get in that that frame of mind that you want to just go out there. So yeah, I think the nerves are there every game. I think it's just no matter what, it's always exciting. Like I said, I told every team I play for, and everyone asked me, did I win a cup? My biggest regret in the whole, not a regret, but I have to say no. So that was the biggest thing in my career you kind of miss.
Looking back through your playoff career again, maybe a little story time. Like I said, those runs with Ovi and Backstrom in Washington. What was your top playoff moment? And when you hear me ask that, what's the first game that jumps into your head in your playoff career?
I think it was game 5 in New York. I scored a double overtime winner in overtime. That was pretty cool. That was like one of my all-time memories for sure, because people were throwing beer balls on the ice, and that was pretty fun. I mean, pretty ugly goal, but I think it was just double overtime winner. And then we won in game 6 right after that in Washington. So that was pretty electric. That was a pretty cool moment. And that's the one thing that jumps out to me for sure.
Do you like not sleep at all that night after you score a big goal like that? Like, is your heart and adrenaline just pumping for like the next 12 hours?
Oh yeah. Well, you have to take a flight home. So obviously you have a couple beers on the plane and decompress a bit. But now the guys are drinking shakes in the plane. We used to have some beers in the plane and let loose a bit. But it was when I got home, I think my family's still up. My wife was still up. She was all pumped up, and my kids, like, they're supposed to be sleeping, but they're still up and they're, so that's, I think you, on all the texts and stuff, it still gives me chills because it was a pretty cool moment. And for a guy, third, fourth liner score, that was pretty awesome.
I want to do a wrap up with a Connor McDavid question for you. He's coming back into the lineup tonight for the Oilers after missing 3 games, and he would have made his debut and gotten going in the league right in your final few years of your career. Do you remember like the hype about McDavid coming into the league? And do you remember your first game against him? Was there any element of like, all right, how good is this kid really going to be? Then you play him and it's like, oh shit. Okay. That's what we're dealing with here. Do you remember your first memories of playing against 97?
You're allowed to swear on this.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So like, I was a guy who used to check like guys like that. So, and like, I was like, oh, how fucking fast could this guy be? And like, I was known for my speed. And I think they're like, well, we're just mark him on the PK. And I was like, okay, like, oh, swing with him and away we go. And he swung with him and he took off. And it, like, I could skate straight line, but he was crossing over. And I'm like, holy, but like, this is a new level. Like, it's just like, I think the hype, like, people don't realize how tough the league is and how easy he makes it look. Like, he's a unicorn. Like, he's just like a guy, you're just like, holy, this is a puck's like, seems like it's glued to a stick and always seems to find him. It's such a hard league to score in. And I mean, it's tough to get one goal. He's scoring 2 goals, 3 goals every night. And if you start doing that, it seems like he wants to score a goal here. I will score a goal. So yeah, he's just that good. And even when he came in, like, you're like, same thing with Sidney Crosby and all those guys. You're like, well, how good can this guy be? And these guys are really good. And he was no exception to that. Like, he was probably more than the hype for sure.
And just to wrap up, like, again, come playoff time for this Oilers group, we know 97 is going to produce. We know Leon Draisaitl is going to produce, but there are other things that this team needs to have checked off if they're going to go on a long run. What's the biggest X factor for the Oilers come playoff time in your mind, outside of, again, 29 and 97 doing what they do?
Yeah, you need your fringe guys to play good. You need Kane to play good. You need the old Evander Kane, the guy who's hitting everybody and causing shit, and the guy who I tried to fight every time and he said no. So I hated playing against him. So he's got to be that guy. And you need a guy like Derek Ryan to step up. And what he said was the best. I think it was an interview. He said, like, they don't realize, like, third or fourth liners take pride in their shifts. They take pride on, like, having people in their zone. They take pride in, like, drawing a penalty and they score on a power play. And that was a pretty good interview by him, because that was exactly what they need to do, like Fogel, those guys, and to step up. Those guys, these are the guys that step up in playoffs and winning games, because the power play is going to dry up and they need guys to step up, and they're going to check McDavid and Draisaitl like crazy. So then their rink shrinks in playoffs for some reason. Just like the checking gets tighter, and everything, every moment means so much. So I think, and you get the matchups in those third and fourth lines, where I think Oilers could exploit that, because I think they got really good players on those lines, and those guys will have a huge impact on if they win a Stanley Cup or not. That's what it's going to boil down to, those guys.
Yeah, I think that's really well put. I think last year against Vegas, that was obviously an issue, is the guys lower in the lineup not coming through the same way as the guys up top. Jason, this was a lot of fun, man. We're out of time, but we appreciate you hopping on. We'll do this again during the playoffs.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for having me.
There you go. Yeah. Former Oiler Jason Chimera, former Oiler, Blue Jacket, Capital, Islander, Duck. He is an elite puck doku answer.
Very elite.
Mm.
And he was a great interview. That was a lot of fun.
Also, and a stick golfer.
Really?
So I'm told.
Mm.
A stick golfer?
Means like good.
It means good.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought that was scratch.
Well, scratch is the term if you're a zero handicap. Mm. He brought up an interesting point, and I've heard this mentioned and talked about in other iterations or other podcasts or just hockey guys talking. And we was talking about Alexander Semin, about how he'll block a shot for the national team and not in the National Hockey League or in playoffs in the National Hockey League. Like, there's many instances like that. And it all stems back from when these guys grow up. Especially like now, it's like the NHL is very
global
and easy to consume. But even still, you got time zones and stuff you need to fight with. All these kids grow up being it's scoring the overtime goal in the World Championship. It's scoring the Olympic goal. And they kind of, the NHL is kind of secondary to that. And it's funny how that translates. And sometimes players' actions do, because they want to, you know, maybe just go play in the World Championships and win gold for their country. Or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Like that's where they put it all on the line, because paychecks stop in the playoffs.
Kind that's of, why I don't.
Funny put comment. I've heard like yeah. I've heard it just mentioned in passing so many times, just like that. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap up the show with our keys to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. The grand opening is coming up this Saturday. Swing by at their location in the heart of Sherwood Park. It's that sleek all black exterior. You can't miss it. What road would it be just off on Sherwood Park?
Oh boy. Lakeland Drive, I think. Sherwood Drive.
Lakeland Drive and Sherwood Drive.
Bing. Rely on the Sherwood Park boys to come through for you. You can enter to win grand opening giveaways, which include a Vamoose Ranger e-bike, a portable power inverter generator, and a Tohatsu outboard motor. They also have e-bike demos. They got a ton of fun stuff for the kids, including a pirate ship bouncy castle, kids fishing games, a s'more station, face pinning, and barbecue and refreshments for your family all day long. 11 to 3 this Saturday out at Sherwood Power Sports.
I'll be there.
I'll be there too.
What time are you be there?
Probably like 11 or 12.
Is your better half going to be there?
Yeah.
Nice. She can look after Crawford while I play the fishing game.
Oh, you know, Amber would absolutely love to spend a couple hours with Crawford. Me and you could go to Sherwood Power Sports and Marine for a couple hours.
Castle.
And then we can go probably like grab a beer somewhere and then just leave Crawford and Amber.
That though. Sounds nice.
Interesting.
You know,
and pick up a side by side while we're at it.
Yeah.
Semin, I just love, because he was just a guy that was obviously really good, and then I just forgot about
good his, when he wanted to be.
His yeah. playoff numbers were awful.
Yeah.
Like the one, so 2010, I believe the Capitals won the President's Trophy that year.
Yeah.
Lost in 7 games to whoever. He did not score a goal in the playoffs. 7 games, he had 2 assists. And I guess to bring it back to Edmonton, like that just can't happen for them. Like they can't have like the guys fall asleep again.
Nope.
Well, you don't have to worry about, like, I'm always excited to see Leon Draisaitl on the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because he's just, and he showed a little glimpse of it a bit against Vancouver. Like, he was trying to carry the game a little bit, which is nice to see, because obviously he doesn't, like, he has to because 97's not there. But when he plays like that, and we have 97.
Yeah.
Because one always creates space for the other. Whether it be if they're on different lines and matchups, or they're just both physically on the ice, and just the threat of 97 always needs to be taken into consideration. Yeah. Almost ran out of breath there. I love beast mode Draisaitl. So excited to see him next week.
Keys to victory for tonight, gentlemen. I'm going to say power play, get on track, score 3 power play goals tonight.
Yeah. Like 100% of the power play.
Play hockey.
Are they,
that's my key.
Are they not in San Jose?
No, it's here.
Oh, it's here.
Just play. Like, just go out and just play.
It's the San Jose Sharks. 97's back. Do you think 97's going on the road trip and he's just playing because it's in town?
I think he'll go on the road trip.
Fan appreciation night.
Fan appreciation night.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should go.
I was going to say key to victory is finding someone who you maybe owe a solid to give your tickets to. Just being like, it's a game against San Jose. Throw someone a bone. You know?
Just win the goddamn hockey game.
Yeah, they need to win the damn hockey game.
I think it needs to be in amazingly convincing fashion.
Yeah.
Like this was a rough weekend. Let's just make a little bit of a statement. Get the juices going.
Yep.
Put up 7. You know what? I'm going to take -3.5.
I actually thought about doing that too. Yeah,
I'm taking that big time.
Anything else?
Nope. Keys to victory. Shout out to Sherwood Power Sports and Marine and our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant.
Did you watch the Masters yesterday?
Yes.
Scotty Scheffler.
Is annoying.
Is like, unbelievable. So
good. Like annoyingly good.
So like
good.
That guy was having a bad front nine. And then what was it from, I guess from 8 onwards?
He made that bogey and he's like, okay.
From that point
I'm gonna floor it.
Yeah, was unbelievable.
Åberg, ever since the power bar debacle, if that so doesn't funny. Happen, he doesn't make that double. And that is a more interesting Masters. That rattled him.
It really did.
It did.
So weird.
Because that guy, if you watch him throughout the day, eats a lot.
And he was eating a PBJ on like the 16th hole. He
missed a meal. Well, he's 9 feet tall. You got to feed the temple.
He's young.
He missed his little meal there.
He might be.
He is coming, man. That guy drives a ball like a.
Well, he won. He made the Ryder Cup team and never played in a major.
Yeah.
Crazy. He's coming.
Is Scheffler's green to tee or tee to green numbers are like prime Tiger-esque, and it'll take something special to like consistently beat Scotty. Åberg or Åberg or whatever it is. Like,
what is it?
I think it's Åberg. He might get there in a couple of years. Like he's that good.
He might be there next year. He's coming.
Yep. You're right.
Even like
just that one little gaff. And I had him at +2,800.
Really, you bet on him to win?
Yes.
I had Homa going into the day. I got him at like +5.
I got plus Homa going into the day at +800.
So I had Homa at +5,500.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's hard to start the competition.
Well, I won one of my Masters pools because I had Scheffler and I had Åberg and I had Cam Smith who showed up.
That's how I won our Masters pool.
Yeah.
I had those three.
I don't know why I didn't follow the same logic. I feel like I had to hedge my bets.
But sorry, I know where you want to end. Homa, no. Murakawa, Bace, and Åberg, the only difference in this very obvious statement, Scheffler just didn't make any mistakes, and those three guys made one mistake in the back nine, yep. and oh, sorry, in the back 18, and that was it for them. It was just open.
And Åberg's was easy to, Åberg, sorry. Man, I just, and he knows it too, of course. Yep. And well, yeah, anyways. It was entertaining there for a bit. Yeah.
There was a 5-way tie at one point, wasn't there? A 4-way tie on the last day. It was a great match.
And shout out Tommy Fleetwood for moving up the rankings. Yep,
top game. 5.
I got him top 5 as well.
Ow, fuck, I'm sorry. That was really hard. Wrap up the show with the menu for DoorDash. 25% off zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. Download the DoorDash app. Enter the promo code NATION25. Available to our viewers in Canada. Pre-gaming tonight, 6:30 with myself and Boardsy. Who's on post-game with you tonight?
That guy.
The more you know. I should really mock down when I'm on these shows.
Yeah, you should.
You make the schedule.
I know. I didn't know that.
New real life dropping later on this afternoon as well. And then tomorrow, Liam's in the host chair. Because I'm out of here. I'm going to Arizona.
Smell you later.
I'll be back on Wednesday. I'm doing Wednesday's show. So we'll have some fun there. We got some cool playoff stuff planned for later on in the week as well. Frank Saravalli, Luke Gazdick, maybe a special guest on Friday well. We haven't confirmed it yet, so I'm not going to say anything. We'll get someone to do a good playoff.
Keeps us in the dark.
Yeah. I told you about it. Didn't tell you about it.
Don't know.
In the dark.
Oh, I know what you're talking.
Yeah, he'd be fun. The people will like him if I can get him. Yeah. Yep. All right, that's a wrap on today's edition of the show. A short for Giant Game Day edition of the show. Another shout out to Jason Demers and Jason Chimera for giving us some time today. Excited to have them on throughout the playoffs. Enjoy the game tonight, and Liam will chat with you tomorrow.